This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
You're probably thinking it's too soon to be talking football, but it's not. Chris Graham here on Street Knowledge, and it's really only a couple of weeks away until I head down with Seth Meganson, new freelance writer, sports writer here for the Augusta Free Press. We're going down to Charlotte for the ACC football kickoff. That's July 13th and 14th. That's just 2 weeks from Thursday. Actually, we're going to be leaving on Wednesday that week, and Augusta Free Press will have wall-to-wall coverage of the football kickoff. Coaches and players from all 14 ACC schools. Now, you're going to say, yeah, what about Notre Dame? Aren't they the 15th school? Notre Dame's still independent in football. They play 5 ACC games a year, but they're not ACC football in that sense, at least not yet. I think there's a lot of speculation that one day Notre Dame will be in the fold, but all 14 of the current conference members will be in attendance with coaches and 2 players from each team, and Seth and I will be down there trying to make sense of the upcoming 2017 season and make sense. You know, there's a lot of storylines that we'll be looking into as we head down there, and of course, we're looking for sponsors. You want to sponsor our trip down there, you get a lot of exposure. You know, Augusta Free Press gets close to 10,000 unique visitors a day, right around 100,000 page views a day, and it's a lot of exposure for your business. So you can check us out, go to Augusta Free Press, and send us an email if you want to join in and get exposure for your business and also have your name attached to the ACC football kickoff, which will be fun. But yeah, all the storylines in the ACC this year coming up. You know, you got the – this is a conference that – has got the defending national champion Clemson. You got the defending Heisman Trophy winner Lamar Jackson, the quarterback at Louisville. Not often that you have a defending Heisman Trophy player back, but you know, Lamar Jackson back for his junior season at Louisville, and he'll be bringing that Heisman Trophy baggage along with him, if you want to say, because you know, Louisville, of course, last year in the national championship playoff picture for quite a long time into last season, but end up playing in a more mid-level bowl type situation, and Louisville still, a lot of their preseason projections have them third place in that tough Atlantic Division with Clemson and Florida State battling things out towards the top of those conference standings. And in fact, you know, all the renderings I'm looking at, I looked at a few before doing this podcast, have Florida State the favorite this year, you know, and I guess that makes some sense. You have DeAndre Francis coming back for a sophomore season at quarterback after putting up some good numbers as a freshman himself last year. And Deshaun Watson being gone now, finally, from Clemson. Seemed like he was there forever. He started for 4 years at Clemson and finally off in the NFL, drafted by the Houston Texans in the first round. And so Clemson has a change of quarterback. You got Florida State with some stability there. Some good defensive players on that side of the ball, which, you know, the last couple of years, if there was a failing for Florida State, it was on the defensive side of the ball, not quite playing up to standards of, you know, previous Florida State teams. All the Florida State teams of the past that were championship contenders always had great offenses, but it was a defense that was so key in games in November and January that helped the Seminoles towards some championship football. Well, they should be better on that side. Clemson has long since gotten past the rebuild stage when you talk about losing guys like Deshaun Watson. They just reload. And then Louisville, if they can shore some things up, you know, a little bit of issue on defense. Also, surprisingly, for a team with a mobile quarterback like Lamar Jackson, some issues with their offensive line. 47 sacks surrendered last year by Louisville. You know, with a guy like Jackson back there, you think that that number would be lower. You know, they do have that issue. So they can clean that up on the line. He's got all those weapons on offense, and if they can – you know, just maybe the offense scores so quickly for that team that, you know, the defense is out there a lot more for a lot more time than a lot of teams' defenses would be. That maybe that's an issue, which is odd to say again for a program. But Bobby Petrino's got to figure out some things on defense to win some of those key games. You know, they can put points up on the board against the average competition that they play, the mid-level competition, some of their non-conference competition. But when you have to play every year, Louisville has to play Florida State and Clemson. If they want to get to that next level, they're going to have to win one or both of those games. You're going to need to, you know, be able to keep the other team off the scoreboard a good bit more than you do against your average opponents week in and week out. So Louisville's got some questions there. And, of course, you go to the Coastal Division side of things, and you know, that's not the sexy side of the ACC. With all the attention that's been put on Florida State and Clemson, one of those two teams has been in the national playoff each of the, I guess, the first 4 years of the national playoff. Florida State, of course, a championship a couple years ago, maybe 3 years ago. Clemson, the defending champions. That's for good reason where ACC football's attention usually lies is in that Clemson-Florida State matchup. But there's an intriguing game coming up November 4th. Between Miami and Virginia Tech, the two teams looked at all the preseason prognostications I've seen have those two teams the favorites in the Coastal. The game is in Miami this year, and so maybe a little bit of an advantage towards Miami. Mark Richt in his second season as the coach at the U, his alma mater. But Justin Fuente, his second year at Virginia Tech, the Hokies won 10 games last year, surprising, exceeding expectations. And, you know, he's got to replace Terod Evans at quarterback, and he's got a quarterback battle that will linger into the summer and through the start of fall camp. But if Fuente can figure that out, you know, certainly Tech is going to be a team that will contend for that Coastal Division championship. And then Miami also will have to start a new quarterback. You know, with all the recruiting successes, even dating back to the previous regime, Mark Richt has some pieces in place that, you know, at least on paper makes Miami an intriguing possibility. In the Coastal, you know, Georgia Tech, 9 wins last season themselves. Paul Johnson was sort of, I don't know if he was quite on the hot seat going into last season, but maybe was on the hot seat. And that 9-win season, including a win at Virginia Tech late in the season, really, you know, got people thinking about Georgia Tech again in this mix. And the thing about Georgia Tech is when they're expected to do well, they tend to play below expectations. And when they're not expected to do well, they play above them. So I don't know where expectations are for them. I think a clear third, at least in the preseason, maybe that's low enough that Georgia Tech can exceed them. Pitt's also looked at as a team that has a chance to make maybe a surprise run, a little bit softer schedule this year in the ACC. And partner Pat Narduzzi and his staff, you know, really showing last season, they put together a hard-nosed football team. They can move the ball offensively. They did just enough defensively to stay in some games. And it'd be interesting to see what Pitt might be able to do, again, with a softer schedule. And, of course, that brings us talking about softer schedules and teams that need to do some stuff to improve. Virginia, that's the team that we focus a lot of our attention on here at Augusta Free Press. And the Cavs, 2-10 last season, finished the season on a 5-game losing streak. And there are some people talking about the outside shot of Virginia qualifying for a bowl, which would be the first bowl for the Cavs. 2011 is the last time Virginia played in a bowl game. And second-year coach Bronco Mendenhall has his work cut out for him. Now, the Cavs have an easy on paper schedule, schedules being what they are. You open up with some home games. You got a 1AA foe in William & Mary. You've got Indiana and UConn at home. You've got a chance to maybe get off the you know, get out of the gate with a couple of wins and maybe build some momentum towards the ACC schedule. But then there's also, you know, there's some tough ones on the road as well. And, you know, you finish up with Virginia Tech at home, a team that you know, blew the doors off the Cavs last year in Blacksburg. You've got the rest of that Coastal schedule. And there's really not a lot in the ACC part of Virginia's schedule, not a lot of easy outs. They don't have to play Florida State or Clemson, which is to their advantage. But, boy, the Cavs facing, you know, they will bring back two of the ACC's best defensive players, Quinn Blanding, the senior safety, senior linebacker, Micah Kaiser, two of the best individual defensive players in the ACC. Not a lot of depth around them, though, on the defensive side of the ball. And then on the offensive side, you bring back a senior quarterback in Kurt Benkert, who started the majority of games last year for Virginia. I believe he started 9 of the first 9 games for Virginia. Saw action, I believe, maybe in all 12 games. I know he saw action in the Virginia Tech game as a backup. You know, after a hot start, that the reason he was benched late in the season was because he sort of lost confidence after throwing a couple of key interceptions and a loss to Pitt at home in the middle of October. And the offense fizzled under him. And so Mendenhall went to fifth-year senior quarterback Matt Johns, who himself struggled, maybe making us think that the struggles weren't Benkert struggles. They were just the offense in general struggles. But in addition to having Benkert back and, you know, with a year under his belt, he went into last season as a starting quarterback. He had not participated in spring. He was actually a transfer from ECU, East Carolina University, and takes the team over with some informal workouts in the summer, really not getting any reps, obviously, with the team in a practice setting until the fall. He now has a whole spring. He has a whole season under his belt, a whole spring under his belt. And so that's got to be a little bit of an advantage for Binkert. And, of course, he's a senior player, so he's got, you know, longevity there, if you want to say. But he has fewer weapons, at least on paper, on offense. You lose Taquan Mazzell, your best running back and maybe your best receiver, too, the receiver out of the backfield anyway. You also lose, your two backup quarterbacks who were both redshirt seniors. And you lose your top two running backs, four of your top six receivers, and it's going to be a makeshift offensive line. Not that last year's offensive line was great, but this year's offensive line will have at least three new starters for Virginia. And so when I hear that, I think I've seen a couple of Vegas renderings of the 2017 season has Virginia at a plus or minus 5.5 wins. And that's where you start thinking about bowl possibilities. If you're plus that 5.5, you're at 6. And if you have 6 wins, you play in a bowl, almost guaranteed. If you're a Power 5 conference with 6 wins, a Power 5 conference team with 6 wins, you're going to play in a bowl game. Well, I still think it's premature, to say the least. I think Virginia's depth is going to be an issue for them this year. They're literally one or two injuries away from sort of being in that position where they were last season. And I just don't know that there's enough on the defensive side of the ball. That said, even with Kaiser and Blanding part of the mix, it's going to be a challenge for Virginia to stop teams. They had such trouble stopping teams last year. Even in the season opening loss to 1AA Richmond, giving up 37 points in that loss, it was just a struggle for the Cavs last year defensively. And not enough consistency on offense. There were some games where the Cavs produced on offense great numbers, 49 in the win over, Central Michigan, 34 in the win over Duke. Those are the two wins of the season. Played well against Louisville in a surprising performance against Louisville. Back when Louisville was still in the playoff mix, the Cavs actually had that game into the final 2 minutes with a lead before Louisville came back a big drive in the last couple of minutes to win that game on a fourth down touchdown pass. But the Cavs, again, that was a deficiency. The defense, couldn't get the stop when it needed it in that game. And so Virginia's got challenges, certainly. And, it's year two of the Mendenhall regime. We talked about Mark Richt and Justin Fuente in year two of their situations. They took over – both of those guys took over better situations. Fuente coming in on the heels of a long run by Frank Beamer, where the Hokies had underachieved to Frank Beamer's standards, but still had gone to bowls in each of his last four seasons, even with records that were just above 500 in each of those seasons. And Mark Richt took over for an Al Golden regime. Golden, at least, had recruited great. His recruiting classes, his last couple, were top 10 national recruiting classes. They just didn't perform on the field, but no, those top 10 recruiting classes are now juniors and seniors coming in for Mark Richt this season. And so you got to think, if he knows where to put guys in place, he's got guys to put in place. He'll have to figure out that quarterback situation. Mendenhall inherited a situation from Mike London that was a train wreck that was only getting worse. London had put some good recruiting classes together in his 6 seasons at Virginia. I think his first 4 recruiting classes were all top 25, top 30 recruiting classes, even across the board when you look at the different rating services. His last couple had fallen below that standard, in part because of the uncertainty of his longevity. And then Mendenhall's first recruiting class itself was also just ranked 12th among the 14 ACC teams, down towards the basement, certainly, of the ACC. And so you don't have a lot of groceries in the cupboard, I think, to use Al Groh, another former UVA coach who was let go, to use his analogy. You don't judge the chef until you let him buy the groceries. Well, Mendenhall's made one trip to the grocery store, didn't come back with a lot. The guy that bought the groceries before didn't come back with a lot. This team has got 3 years of bad recruiting as the foundation of the roster. You can't expect a great meal out of all that, I guess you could say. So this year's going to be a struggle for the Cavs. I don't think there's any question about that. Really, I don't look for much even in 2018 out of this group. And you know, 2019 and beyond, really, that's, you know, year four and year five are going to be some pressure years for Bronco Mendenhall, because, you know, he's going to have to put together some better recruiting than he's done so far. And he's big headlines this weekend, five recruits committing for the class of 2018. And looking at their ratings on the ranking services, two and three star guys who had most of their offers from FCS schools, doesn't speak a lot. You know, you're gonna have to develop those guys. Coaches can develop. There's no question. Frank Beamer at Virginia Tech and George Welsh at Virginia, way back in the day for Virginia now. They were guys who turned two and three stars into four and five stars. Mendenhall's got his work cut out for him if he wants to do the same in Charlottesville. So that's what we got coming up for us, though. It's just 2 weeks away. It's so hard to think. You know, we're in June, late June, and we're 2 weeks away from the ACC football kickoff. You know, one reason it's sooner this year, the last few years it was around July 20th, as late as 24th or 25th, I think, that we've covered that in the last few years. New NCAA rules allow programs to start practice a week earlier. So actually practices are going to start in late July for most programs. And got the note today from UVA about some open practices, open to the media practices, and the first of them is in late July. So that's why the kickoff has moved up a couple of weeks this year, while we'll be going sooner to North Carolina than we normally go for these things. But, hey, I'm not complaining. It just gets football started a little sooner for us this year, and we love, of course, covering the college football. That's what we do all fall long. For me, there's Saturdays either I'm in Charlottesville covering UVA sports, or Saturdays down in Lexington calling on the radio VMI football. And we'll be heading down to VMI sometime coming up later in July for VMI Football Media Day to get ourselves acquainted with the keydets and get ready for I call the home games on the radio for the VMI Sports Radio Network. And I'll get ready for VMI with a schedule that, you know, this is the third year of the new regime there at VMI, and you know, looking forward to a team that, you know, you've seen the last couple of teams really overachieve. You know, I know that might sound weird. Last year's team, I think, topped out at three wins. But, you know, when they're as competitive as they are, this keydet program, I think, is headed in the right direction. And so we're looking forward to some VMI football. It's VMI football, UVA football, I think, every Saturday from 1st of September until that Friday after Thanksgiving. We skip a Saturday with the Friday after Thanksgiving. That's when the regular season ends for our teams. That's when Virginia and Virginia Tech are playing a Black Friday game in Charlottesville. So it's a busy time for us. That's a weekly date with you know, UVA football live blogs. We do live blogs on AFP during the game. I share observations, stats, updates, and that kind of thing. But then during the VMI season, of course, where I get to call the games on the radio. So either way we go, I'm somewhere watching football. Somebody's got to do it. It's me. I'm lucky guy to be able to do that. But it all starts for me, again, coming up 2 weeks, the ACC football kickoff. Seth Meganson and I will be down there in Charlotte. And, boy, we're going to, in addition to covering the kickoff, you know, the interviews with all 14 coaches, two players from each of the 14 ACC programs. We'll sit in on Commissioner John Swofford's annual message to the media and the public. I'm sure there'll be a little bit of gloating from him with that defending national champion Clemson, defending Heisman Trophy winner Lamar Jackson being in the audience. Probably a little bit of bragging going on there, and I don't think it's undeserved as far as that goes. But in addition to that, we'll do some live podcasting. Some live Facebook Live, I should say, commentaries and that kind of thing. And then, boy, for a couple weeks afterwards, Seth and I'll be cranking out stories from those interviews and doing previews of each of the 14 ACC teams heading into the 2017 season. So, you know, again, it's hard work, but somebody's got to do it, and Seth and I are ready for that. So please join AFP as we get ready for that. And then, of course, as we go through getting you ready for ACC football in 2017. I think that'll sign us off here for this podcast. Thank you for listening to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham. I'll be talking again soon.